Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carmita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And today has been a glorious day, as every day is. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, this teaching series has been such a blessing to my soul, to my special guest who has been so obedient in bringing this beautiful series, God's Divine Makeup for the Believer. And I hate to let it go, but today is the day that Brother Harold is going to conclude this teaching series, God's Divine Makeup for the Believer. And I just encourage you to continue with this series today, that you would be filled and enjoyed from the words that the Holy Spirit is going to bring out Minister Harold, and walking through the pages to conclude this teaching series. Now, I encourage you also, if you have not listened or missed maybe one of the parts to this series, go back and on the broadcast, and you can listen to it at your comfort time, at any time of the day, and pick up where you may have left off or missed a part of this series. And we encourage you to do that. But I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you as you listen to the words and the message and how the Holy Ghost is filling us with his very presence. So we're going to pick back up with this series with my special guest in the studio today, Minister Harold Copeland. And I tell you, he has been such a blessing to deliver this message. And one thing I want to speak with you today concerning God's makeup. Now that you are fully made up with God's divine makeup, you are encouraged to work out your soul salvation and go into the world and do the works of him who sends you out. Scripture encourages you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to live out your life before others. Now, this is what the scriptures encourage you. Now that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are to live out your life before others. Now, listen to what John 15, verse 4 and 5 says. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now that comes straight from John 15, 4. Verses 5. So what does it do? It encourages us as the body of Christ, as believers, brothers and sisters, to go out and live our lives out before others, that they would want what you and I have, and that is the Holy Spirit. So, Brother Harold, if you would go ahead and just pounce right in to our conclusion, and I tell you, I don't want this to let go. I do not want to stop this teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. It has been such a refreshing to my soul, and just to know how important it is for brothers and sisters in Christ to yield the Holy Spirit, to speak of the Holy Spirit, to let others know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I tell you, Brother Harold, it is just a sweet nugget to cleave to latch on to, especially when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It has been, some of us across the airwaves may not have known, may not have been taught properly or doctrinally that the Holy Spirit does live inside. God himself lives inside, and we should talk as though he is in us, and walk and live out as though he is with us. But I thank God for you in explaining and unpacking the scriptures to show us how he is truly living inside of us. So, Minister Copeland, if you could go ahead and pick up where we've left off or conclude this wonderful series, and we'll talk a little bit after it's over.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I am Minister Harold Copeland, and again, I will be your guest speaker. And I would like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I want you to know that I count it an honor to be called by God to fellowship with you all. And as was said, we are going to continue the series, finish up the series on God's divine makeup for the believer. And we will be teaching on part 3B of the series, As Jesus Is, So Are You. Before we go deeper and open up part B of the series, I would like to recap some of the spiritual truths, or spiritual realities that was released by revelation knowledge of Holy Spirit concerning part 3A of the series, which is As Jesus Is, So Are You. So let's start out with scripture, 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17.
1 John 4, 17 says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus."
Yes, and in our spirits, and we understand that the Word of God is spirit and life, and when the Word of God is released, the Word of God communicates to us spirit to spirit. As God, he communicates to us spirit to spirit. God does not communicate to our souls. Our souls are incapable of communicating with God. God do not communicate to our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are incapable of communicating with God. As was said in the book of John, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must, powerful four-letter word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the word worship can take on a connotation of any type of fellowship we have with God must be done spirit to spirit. And in 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17, in our spirit we are in a new position. We'll say a new position. And it's a new position of love. Yes. And it's not a love that comes from the earth realm. It's not a love that humanity is familiar with. And even if in the natural, if you love something with everything, that love you demonstrated is will always fall short of this love that God has given us and released into us. God's love, the agape love, it's just not based on condition. And what God says concerning that love is, "I love you, and you can't stop me. In other words, what he says is, I love you, and there is nothing you can do to stop me from loving you. He said, I love you just the way you are. So come to me just as you are. But I love you too much to keep you the same. So we're in a new position of love, and we have received that love. You know, and John tells us that not that we first love him, but he first loved us. But we have received that love, and that love has made us perfect. Now, in 1 John 4:17, Paul goes all the way to the end but the beginning, and he brings up in the day of judgment. And what he's talking about, at the judgment seat of Christ. He said we can have boldness and we can have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. And then he comes back to now. He said, because now, as Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. Just like Jesus right now. Now let's go back to the judgment seat. Let's step out into the judgment seat. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be better than we are now. And right now we're like Jesus. But when we go to the judgment seat, all of us are going to be saved, not just our spirit man. Our spirit man will be fully saved. Our souls will be fully saved. For the word of God tells us that in that time we will know all things. He's talking in our soul as we are known. We will know all things as we are known. And then he talks about the body. He said, mortal will put on immortality. We'll have our immortality. And he said, corruptible will put on incorruption. And we'll have our incorruption. And what that is, that's our glorified bodies. Amen. So when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ in our glorified state, spirit, soul, and body, we can have confidence and we can have boldness and we can rejoice evermore. Amen. Because that's a time of rejoicing. That's when Jesus give out the rewards. That's when some get their crowns. Amen. And every man will be rewarded. And we have an expectation, amen, that God is going to release that he had determined for us to have from the beginning. As Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. Now let's go to the next scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Let's bring that one in here.
1 John 4:18. And it reads this way. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Yes, and we want to go further forward. As Paul took us forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to stand in perfect love. Perfect love will be flowing in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. And we will be filled through and through and through with the perfect love of God. And we will be so full of this love that there will be no room for fear to get in. There will be no space, no empty space for fear to come in. because that perfect love cast out that fear and won't even let that fear go in. And notice it say fear is punishment, but the judgment seat of Christ is not a place of punishment, it's a place of reward. Man, and that's the place where Jesus will look at all of us in the eye and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the little, and now I will let you rule over the many. And in that place, we'll rule with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And what a glorious hour that will be. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27.
Colossians 1, 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes. And the most important words in there is Christ in you. And I'm included, so it's Christ in me. And that's personal. Now, we're not talking about the Christ behind the cloud in the heavenly realm, which is a glorious Christ. We love him and he loves us. And even a more glorious position, the Christ seated on the right hand of the Father interceding for us on a daily basis. I mean, wonderful Christ, marvelous Christ. But God even made it more personal and brought a more intimate scene to the relationship. And he said, the Christ in you, the Christ in me, that's intimacy, that's personal, a personal relationship. The Christ in your heart, the Christ in my heart. The Christ abided in me. The Christ abided in you. He's our hope of the glory of God being manifested in our lives. And it's because of him living on the inside of us, we shall see God's glory. And we shall come one with our Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Colossians, still in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse 3.
Colossians 3:3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Amen. Now, the word died, death, we should not be afraid of those words, because those words are our friend. Amen. Those words help destroy our worst enemy. Those words help remove the barrier, the only one that could stop us from fulfilling God's purpose on our lives. And that was our old nature, the Adamic nature, the sinful nature, the sin dispensation. And when we see Christ died and we died with Christ, that's what they're talking about. The old man. You know, maybe some of your old man was pretty good. Mine wasn't. My old man was a monster. And I couldn't get away from that monster. I couldn't get rid of that monster. But I thank God for the covenant of salvation. that through the covenant of salvation, that Jesus came in through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he destroyed that monster that was trying to destroy Harold. So when we see death in the scripture, we run to it and embrace it, because that death just put another nail in that old man and make sure he stay in the grave. That's the only place fit for that old man, is in the grave. And as long as we got him in the grave, then we can live that new life. Hallelujah. I love that new life. I love that new person. Beautifully, wonderfully made. The apple of God's eye. Amen. So, if we can get rid of the old, hallelujah, God will release the new, from the old to the new, and that's where we're going. It's a journey, and it's a journey that takes us out of the old and then take us into the new. And it's a glorious journey. It's a wonderful journey as we move with the Christ that's living on the inside of us. We thank God for the Christ in the heavenly realm. What a wonderful Savior. We thank God for the Christ that's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father interceding for us. For glory, we give God the glory, we give him the honor and praise, this personal relationship with the Christ that's in us. For this intimacy, an intimate relationship in our heart, a heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 17.
1 Corinthians 6:17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit.
Amen. And see, this is a spiritual walk. And this is a spiritual life that God made it available for his children. This is not intellectual information. Amen. These are spiritual truths, spiritual realities, revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in that spirit realm, we have the precious Holy Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. He the one that starts everything. Nothing of God is started without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He starts everything. He is everything. And he does everything in the middle. And he has begun the life of Christ on the inside of us. And Christ's life is connected to him, precious Holy Spirit. But our life is in there also, because we're hidden in Christ. And we're also one in that spirit with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are united spirit to spirit. And that's what makes us people of the living God. You know, in Romans 8, will tell us that if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Glory to God. That makes me jump up and make sure that the spirit of God dwells in me. Hallelujah. And then he say, you have the spirit of Christ. Amen. We are fully loaded. We are equipped with power, glory, and destiny. We say the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. Amen. Praise God. And he say, and he too shall quicken you. Makes you alive. Glory to God. I got a life now that I love. Amen. I didn't like my old life, because that guy was a monster. Amen. And he couldn't do any good. But I thank God for the born again experience in the born again life. I thank the Lord for the new birth. Amen. And God faithful to his promises. For truly he has given me a brand new life on the inside. And that life is in Christ, his son, empowered by the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And my testimony today is, I shall live today and not die. Amen. And I shall rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Now, if we could look into, with our carnal eyes, our two carnal eyes, if we could look into the spirit realm in our carnal eyes, we will see that we are ounce for ounce, molecule for molecule, atom to atom with Jesus Christ, who's living on the inside of us. Amen. And I just want you to know that God didn't leave you out, and God didn't leave me out. Amen. Just like Christ lived in the Apostle Paul, Christ is living in us. We have a glorious covenant and a glorious relationship with the Lord. We are new creatures. Amen. And we can go on to say that we are new creations. You know what? I forget about that old creation. Because that old creation, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I'm like David. Amen. But this new, I'm born in the Spirit. I'm born in righteousness. I'm born in holiness. I'm born in sanctification. I'm born one with my Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, let us go deeper into, as Jesus is, so are you right now in this world. And we want to open it up with our lunch pad scripture first, Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. And this is our lunch pad scripture, and it's very appropriate for this topic. And we just read it to let it minister the reality of this truth to us. And what it speaks to our hearts is we are spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body, which is our earth suit that carries us while we are down here on earth. Now that we're getting to know that as Jesus is, so are we right now in this world, not the next world, but right now in this world, we are just like Jesus. It's decision time. It's time to make a decision. And Paul shows us in Romans chapter number 2, chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, what type of decision we need to make.
Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Praise God. See, now it's decision time. Can I help you out? Our spirits already made a decision. Our spirits made a decision to go on with God. Our spirits made a decision to go all the way and don't look back. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But press on toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Our spirit sold out for the Lord. So through process of elimination, the ones that got to make the decision is the soul and the body. And the soul and body has to make a decision on whether they're going to conform to the world or whether they're going to be transformed by the word of God and enter into the union, that divine union with the Christ in us. And that's a daily decision our souls and our bodies have to make. It's a daily decision, but it's throughout the day. It's the warfare that we as believers are in. You know, Joshua put it this way in Joshua 1:8, choose this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
Amen. Brother,
so the
Harold, I think, Brother Harold, I think when this would be a perfect stopping point to extend Jesus being the gospel to someone who may be listening to the broadcast who may not know him. And just as you said, what Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think this is a perfect place to allow someone to get their house in order on the inside. And if we would stop and pray a prayer of salvation at this point in time for those, because we can't assume that those that are listening to the broadcast are saved, and we want to give them an opportunity to accept and surrender their life and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So if you don't mind to pray a prayer of salvation.
Amen. And I see the presence of the Spirit of the living God. And he's tugging at hearts tonight. Man, because the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's the door of our hearts. And I feel his presence at the door of everyone's heart tonight. And he's knocking. He's knocking because he want to come in. And Jesus goes on to say that whoever opened up the door, open up the door of their hearts, and let him come in. See, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force his way in. He won't kick the door down, but he waits for an invitation to come in. And he said, whosoever hear my voice and open the door. And he said, I will come sup with you. And the word sup takes on a tone of fellowship. It's a fellowship in your heart. And I let you fellowship with me. Glory to God. And the Spirit is tugging and pulling and asking hearts to come in and fellowship with Jesus and letting Jesus come in to be the Lord and the Savior of our life. And God has made it so easy for us to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's just a prayer way. And all you have to do is repeat after me. And we'll step into the door of salvation. Come on, let's do it tonight. Repeat after me. Father, I know I'm a sinner. Father, I ask you to please forgive me for sinning against you. Against you and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. Father, I confess Jesus as Lord And I believe in my heart, you raised him from the dead. And Lord Jesus, I hear you knocking. And I open the door of my heart. And I ask you to come in and sup with me. Come be my Lord and my Savior. Father, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. We are so excited that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and that you would now seek out a Bible teaching church that will disciple you, that you could be baptized by submersion of water, and seek out a Sunday school class or a small group Bible study, that you would grow and go in grace, and that you would just tell somebody about your experience, that you met him right where you are, and that you have been changed on the inside, and that you are so excited. Let somebody know that you are spirit-filled, Jesus-filled, whatever way God gives it to you to say, but rejoice in the Lord, and praise God. So we're going to pick back up where you were before we went into this beautiful prayer of salvation. Hallelujah.
Yes, and notice we said on a daily basis that the soul and the body have to make a decision on which way they are going to go. And Paul used some strong words in this scripture. I encourage you. I beseech you. I beg you. I highly encourage you. And then he went on and said, brethren. Now, brethren just eliminate 90% of the audience he was talking to. Brethren mean he wasn't talking to unsaved people. He was talking to people of the household of faith. He was speaking to people of the household of faith. He was speaking to the church in Rome. But you know what? He's also speaking to you and I also. That as brethren, we have to make that decision every day on which direction our souls are going to go. And what Paul is saying is, don't let your body just react to the things of the world. Don't let your body be led by the five senses. You know, five senses: touch, taste, hear, see, smell, or feel. But he gives us a little instruction further on in that text. He said, present your bodies and present. You know, that's the remedy. How can I stop letting my body from operating under the five senses? How can I stop letting my body just reacting to the things of the world? Well, he said, present your body. Present your body, which means surrender. Surrender our bodies. Present our bodies. Where? To God. Make an altar. Well, how did we do that? Make an altar. Beside the bed and say, Lord, I just present my body to you. I just surrender my body to you. A chair would be a great place. God, this is the altar where I meet you. This is the altar where I present myself. This is the altar I present myself a living sacrifice. Amen. God don't need no more dead sacrifices. He needs living sacrifices. So if we sacrifice away from the world and sacrifice to be used of his kingdom, he can use us. Go into the living room and just lay on the couch and say, Lord, I present my body to you. I surrender my body to you. Just lay prostrate on the floor. God, I present myself to you. I surrender myself to you. You know, and I heard a story about Mother Teresa, powerful woman of God, that she would get up every morning and she would stand in the presence of God and say, Father, I give you my hands, I give you my feet. What do you have for me to do today? See, that's presenting your bodies. That's surrendering the body, a living sacrifice. Amen. And Paul goes on to say, in King James, he said, that's your reasonable service. And let me tell you what reasonable service means. Because of what Father God has already done for us, because of the love that Jesus Christ has already shown us, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that already working in us and going to continue to work in us, reasonable service means the least we can do. The least we can do because of all that God has done for us, the least we can do is present ourselves, surrender ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. Paul is saying, don't conform, but be transformed. Amen. And that's our souls and our bodies. We need to tell our soul and our body, don't conform, but be transformed. Thank you, Lord. Now, we want to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 6.
Brother Harold, because I want to interject here. I want to interject here. You did a wonderful job unpacking those verses in Romans 12. And I want the listeners to listen to it, and I'm going to reread it in the New Living Translation. And as I was following along with you, it just puts it so simplistically in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to reread it before we go to Romans 6. And it reads this way, starting at verse 1, Romans 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Amen.
Amen. That's good. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4.
Romans 6, 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are burdened with Him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus, or that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Praise God. Now we see Paul asking the question, what shall we say, dear? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, right here, Paul is taking on the role of a great teacher. And something we know about great teachers, a great teacher asks more questions than they give answers. After I retired from the military in the year 2000, I went to work for the school system for 17 years. And we had some great veteran teachers that had 40 plus years of experience. And during the initial instructions, they would probably give answers about two or maybe three times. But after that, it was nothing but questions, asking questions. And you know, and I know that they didn't ask the questions because they didn't know the answer. They asked the question because they was assessing. They was assessing the students. They was assessing learning. They was looking for, at the comprehension level. They was seeing what information was getting in to the students. And they was testing to see what the students knew. It's kind of like in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Let us go there. Let us go there.
Genesis 3, verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?"
Amen. A great teacher asking a question. And we're talking the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, the omnipresent God, all-powerful God. God knew where Adam was. God was just checking to see, did Adam know what position he had got himself into? Similar to Jesus in John chapter number 21, verse 5. Let us go there.
John 21, 5. And it reads this way. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he did not go in.
Amen. We was looking at John chapter 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" See, he asked them a question. Have you any meat? Amen. And we know that Jesus knew that they did not have any meat. But he was assessing them. He was checking them to see if they knew that what they was doing was not working, and how they was doing it wasn't working. And Jesus went on to show them the right way in the next verse. Let's read the next verse, John chapter number 21, verse 6.
He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish.
Praise God. That's the harvest. They tapped into the harvest. And we're getting ready to tap into our harvest also. Now let's take that back to Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. When Paul asked the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul knew that they knew the answer. Well, because Paul was their apostle. In other words, he taught them. And in verse 2, Paul answered the question by saying, God forbid. Now, just the way the theologians teach this God forbid, they say that this is the closest that the Apostle Paul came to cursing without cursing. So Paul didn't say, God forbid. Paul said, God forbid. And what it showed was how animately opposed Paul was against Christians walking in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. Now, let's identify flesh in a Christian, since there is flesh in a Christian. Flesh in a Christian is the unrenewed mind, the mind that was programmed by the old man before he died. He programmed the mind, and the mind is unrenewed. But it also, flesh is also the thoughts and the actions that's not under the leadership of Holy Spirit. So flesh is the unrenewed mind, but it also the thoughts and the actions that's not under the leadership of Holy Spirit. So flesh don't just point to the skin, you know, our epidermis, what we learned in school, but no, it's the mindset, unrenewed mind, and any action and any thought that's not under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to bring it physical, too. It's the physical body trusting in the five senses. The physical body trusting in what it can touch, taste, hear, see, or smell, and not walking by faith in the Word of God. So we got to identify sin, because sin is a problem, you know, in the Christendom. And you know, they taught me in the military a long time ago that the first step to solving a problem is you got to identify the problem. Amen. So we identify. And flesh is the unrenewed mind. Flesh is any thought of action that's not under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the physical body trusting in the five senses, trusting in what it can touch, taste, hear, see, or smell, and not walking by faith in the Word of God. Amen. Then Paul, the great teacher, he asked another question. He said, how can we that are dead to sin? And I love that scripture Sister Smith brought in, because it emphasized that death so very well, dead to sin so very well. He said, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, what Paul was saying is, how can a dead man sin? How can a dead man sin? And I just want to break it down just a little bit. You know, if you put a beer by a dead man, he can't drink it. If you put a pretty lady by a dead man, he can't touch her. If you put a very expensive gold watch by a dead man, he couldn't even touch it. So that's why Paul is asking, how can a dead man sin? And we need to ask ourselves that today. How can a dead man sin? And Paul goes on to explain this death. And like I said, the death is beautiful. And we need to embrace the death and don't run from it, because the one that died is our worst enemy, that old sinful, Adamic nature. Man, that's the one that we put in the grave. And that's the one, the only one that can hinder us from doing the will of God. But if we put him in the place that he deserved to be, in the grave, in the tomb, then he won't be a hindrance to us for carrying out the will of God for our lives. Number three, he asks another question, know ye not? And in that question, Paul is really being facetious. He's really saying, you should know because I taught you. Amen. Now, let's go to the word further down that says baptize. Now, from just being around Christians and just hearing this taught, over 90% of the Christians, when they see the word baptize, they think that Paul is talking about water baptism. But in this text, Paul is not speaking of water baptism. Amen. Paul is speaking of being baptized into the body of Christ. Now, on the subject of baptism, that will have to be a series in itself to really explain it to you the way it is taught in the Word of God. But one thing I can show you, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 2. Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 2.
Hebrews 6 and 2. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment.
Yes. And notice, he said the doctrines of baptism. Now, King James spelled baptism, B-A-P-T-I-S-M-S, with a plural. So there is other baptism besides the water baptism. And as I say, that has to be taught in a series to really open up and show you the doctrine. And notice the word at the beginning, doctrine. It's a doctrine of baptism. So in this case, Paul is not talking about water baptism. He's speaking of baptism taking on a word meaning join, being baptized into Christ, being joined into Christ. And he used the short version when he say into Christ, but it really means being baptized into the body of Christ, being joined into the body of Christ. Now, this baptism happened even before the water baptism happened, because this baptism happened at the initial salvation. And those that made that confession today, they received this baptism, because the minute we make that confession, God releases his Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Holy Spirit is the baptizer that do the baptism that baptize us into Jesus Christ. Join us to Jesus Christ. Makes us one with Jesus Christ. And in that, it's totally spiritual. There's nothing intellectual about it whatsoever. It's just a supernatural a tone that God takes us through. And the minute we are baptized with Lord Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death. That's what Paul is saying. And like I said, death is a good word for us. We have to embrace that word, because death get rid of our enemy. Death get rid of the old man. That old man was baptized with Jesus Christ, was baptized with his death, was buried with him in the grave. Amen. So supernaturally, when we join ourselves with Christ, that everything that Jesus did in his passion, you know, we understand the passion of the Christ. Everything that Jesus did in his passion, from the whipping post where he received the 39 stripes on his back, to the cross where he was crucified, to the grave where he was buried, we did all this with him. It was our old man, and our old man went into that grave with Christ. But I'm here to tell you, nothing of the old come out of that grave. Nothing of the old come out of that grave. For once that old man went in the grave, then resurrection came forth. But it wasn't the old man that was resurrected. It was a new life that was resurrected. Resurrection life came forth. Resurrection power came forth. Glory to God. That's the new beginning. That's the new birth. That's the born again experience. Amen. We're born in the spirit this time. Amen. The first time we were born, we came out of mother's womb. We were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. But this birth, we're born in the spirit. We're born into righteousness. We're born into holiness. We're born into sanctification. We're born into justification, justified. Amen. You know, we break that word justified down. And when God justifies us, it means I'm justified. It means that we stand in the presence of God right now, just if we have never committed one sin. What a powerful God we serve. Hallelujah. That's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because all of our sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been cleansed. Glory to God. And now Amen. We stand in God's presence today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This has been a beautiful flow. Now, Mr. Harold, I want to know if this concludes or can we continue with this wonderful message of as Jesus is, so are you. Because I don't want to stop just moving through Romans 6, and I know there's so much more richness in this passage or in this chapter. And I know that it has come to the end of this broadcast, but I do want you to have the opportunity to continue it, because I just believe that so many need to hear more about this topic concerning the Holy Spirit and the human spirit becoming one. So now you let us know.
Well, I tell you what, there's just so much meat in here, and if we can go one more week, just partake of this meat, this bread of the Lord, I will be so excited, amen,
yes.
to break bread with you all, amen.
Amen. I just believe we can, and I think we should, because I tell you, the eating of this particular table, of course, it's God's table, is always satisfying. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are listening to this broadcast, this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup for the Believer, to tune in to the broadcast on next week, and we will continue this series with Minister Harold Copeland. And I just want you to always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fade away, but the beautiful message of God, the word, as it is expressed, the word will last forever and ever. So God bless you, and thank you for your faithfulness to this broadcast, and thank you for your faithfulness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And always remember that he loves you.
Let me get out of here. Mm. Praise God.